Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For God's sake.
I swear to God, I will go over there.
You.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. You know what's funny right now, Hupke, is that almost all broadcasters in the land really got excited about saying shithole.
I know.
And we're like...
We're so beyond saying shithole. We're way ahead of the curve on that
one. We're way ahead of the curve. Which reminds me, we were going to make that supercut of all the swearing to give people as a holiday gift. We haven't done that yet.
It'll be belated.
That's fine.
But it'll still be wonderful when it
It'll
arrives.
Be wonderful. It's worth the wait. It'll be like, you know, in France, you send the, like, happy New Year cards. Can be like that. Only in, you know, March when we'll do it.
There you go.
Because right. it's already like... But it'll be January's already done.
It'll be the gift that keeps on giving, though, once it comes out.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have, like, the remix, the auto-tune, all those things. Anyway, well, it's almost the end of January already. Like, boom, flew
yeah,
by.
I know.
And we're at the, we are coming up upon the anniversary of Inauguration Weekend.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, word to that. You know, there will be marches again this weekend. I plan to go out and cover audio and ask people, like, where were you last year mentally? Mm-hmm. Where are you now? Because last year I walked around the Women's March saying, hey, why are you out here today? What's important to you? And I got a whole variety of answers from a whole variety of people. And I'm curious to see how those mash up with this year.
What are you hearing from the women's zone about people
at the lady meeting?
Yeah, I was trying to think of what the word
I
would
set
be.
Down the skillet and the knitting needles and listened to my sisters.
No, but what's the buzz anyway? Do you think there's going to be as large of a turnout, or
no.
Do you think it'll be much more tempered? And if not, is that a bad thing? I don't know.
I think it's a bad thing. I think people are real tired and just kind of over it and overwhelmed. So no, I don't think it'll be as good a turnout. And I wish it was. I wish it was double.
Yeah, because I think that I honestly don't think people are less mad or frustrated. I think it's just sort of a repeat of something that's been done before. And I don't mean that to disparage it. I think, you know, I mean, I applaud any kind of effort like that. But yeah, I wonder about the optics, basically. And like, mm-hmm. what, you know, is Fox News going to be like, well, nobody turned out for this time? You know, so obviously the women are fine now. You know what I mean? Like, I could see it being used in a negative way, even though it's a positive thing, and I think positive things come out of it.
Well, I think that we are better organized than we were this time last year. I think there's a lot lot more people. I think a lot of people this time last year were kind of in this, like, okay, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
How can I matter? How can my actions be impactful and matter? And I think people kind of found their spot.
Yeah.
And I think people are involved in meaningful ways doing things that are meaningful to them. So I think on one hand, people are probably engaged in ways that are less visible. On another note, there was a piece I don't remember. I should have looked this up right before the show. But there was a piece just this week about, you know, have we really lost the sense of what it means to protest and what protests are for? And I would say, by and large, probably. It's not just like go out and have a party in the streets. I think we're conflating it with, you know, like Mardi Gras a little
like
bit.
Like an event. Like kind of like an event.
Like an event. Yeah. Right, right. It's not about going out. It's like, I think you have to be really clear. If you set foot in a protest, you need to be clear about why am I here? What am I here for? What do I need to project into this? And what energy do I need to take from it and put out into the world later?
Yeah.
It's not just a big pep rally. It's you know, you got to be clear about, like, we're here to block traffic to stop this thing. We're here to show this public official that's in town we don't support this bill or this measure or whatever. We're here to, you know, surround this corporation building and show them we don't support their participation in the war effort or whatever, you know, like all this stuff.
We're here to protest Hupke. Damn him.
Oh, that would be fun. I'm going to organize that protest in front of Tribune Tower. It might be me and producer Jasmine with signs just being like, anti-Hupke.
Yeah, yeah. It's bound to happen sooner or later.
Nothing rhymes with Hupke. So how can we have a little chant? We need a little... We'll just stand there and go, nothing rhymes with Hupke.
Yeah, fuck him.
Nothing rhymes with Hupke. We hate Hupke. Nothing rhymes with Hupke. We hate Hupke.
There you go.
That's
that
what
works.
We're going to do.
Perfect. But so, yeah, because I think that... you're right about the intent and the, you know, purpose and all that sort of thing. And I actually don't, and this is my fault for not having read more of the initial reporting on the Women's March that's happening here and all over the place soon. But, you know, I don't know exactly. I mean, is the purpose to get people together and register them for things or to, you know, sign? I mean,
and that's what I mean. I think it's very disorganized. And there, last year there were like feminist zines selling copies. There were a one-off zine. There were a lot of publications that launched. There were people trying to get signatures for things. There were special interest groups. And that's cool. That's fine. I'm not saying don't be out there. I just think, I hate it when we open ourselves to being laughed at or, you know, open ourselves to being diminished, which is not to say it's our fault when that happens. It's obviously the diminisher's fault. But it's like we have to be smart and strategic about the things we do and not just because, look, if you're just like, well, look, 30,000 people walked the streets of Chicago because they were mad about something.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. I mean, I know people this time last year that, I mean, a really good friend of mine, I would say, that that I've known most of my life said to me, who lives in another state, sent me a text after the Women's March last year and said, are there any bras left in Chicago? And like he thought he was being funny and he was calling us bra burners.
Mm-hmm, right.
And fine. But I said, do you understand what it was about? And he was like, I don't know, women are mad about stuff. All the men stayed home. And I was like, well, that's not true. There was a lot of men.
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of men.
That's
there.
A lot of men. And lots of men I know were there.
Yeah.
And he was like, why in the hell would any man go to that? Next subject. And like, that was the extent of our conversation. And I wouldn't call him like, I wouldn't call him woke, but I wouldn't call him like some kind of, you know, like awful.
Yeah, I got you.
Bigot off in the woods. You know what I mean?
Like whatever living, the opposite of woke
right,
is.
A non-woke. Right, like like loner hermit unibomber dude off in the woods. Like, I wouldn't call him that guy at all. And he just felt like very disconnected from it because it was not, I think it was, it wasn't about men's feelings. And, it was about women and appearing and expressing. The stakes are different now, though, because that was pre-Me Too.
Mm-hmm.
And anger holds a different space now than it did a year ago.
Yeah.
And I don't mean angry like militant. I mean angry like accessing anger that has been internalized, that we've turned on ourselves for a long time,
right,
like having access to it. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. And it's I've seen mention of it on social media, and nothing like last year.
Well, yeah, and the first one was I don't know that there were major expectations, and then it blew expectations out of the water.
Right.
Whatever expectations there were, I mean, it was like holy crap. I mean, it was a massive everywhere. You know, there were these massive turnouts. So yeah, I feel like if you're doing it to make a point and to show a show of strength, kind of, you know, pure numbers, you're doing yourself a potential disservice because it's highly unlikely that it's going to reach that sort of... Now the expectation's high, and you're probably going to come in low. So, I mean, again, I don't mean to... I'm thinking about an expression of you know, frustration and anger from a strategic standpoint, which is probably not the most fair or best way to do that. But I do wonder, honestly, if... it just seems like maybe this may not, in the end, be helpful to what is... you know, to whatever the exact goal is. I mean, there are different goals, I think, and think people bring their own issues and things that they want to stress to it. So.
Right. Well, the kind of stated goal is about voting and strategy and, mm-hmm. you know, power to the polls has been a phrase that's kind of bandied about, particularly in like battleground states where there's a lot of high contentious gun issues happening, like things like that. I get that. That's cool. That seems focused and purposeful to me. But like, let's put on pink shit and go outside and have girl powers not cutting it for me. That's not In fact, I think kind of like the way that the term girl power gets used a lot, I think has actually done more to hurt the movement in the last few decades than help it.
Yeah, and I think a lot, even stuff, as much as I do think the first Women's March was a huge success, I thought, in terms, I mean...
Well, we needed it, because we were in a terrible spot. We really were.
Yeah.
Like, between, what in the shit happened between Riot Girl and that?
Right.
Like, not a lot.
Yeah.
We had a lot of, we had, like, the Powerpuff Girls and the Spice Girls and, like, a lot of girl and a lot of power, girl power, yay, fun. And, like, a lot of young women saying, I'm not a feminist, but.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's bullshit. That's, you have a job. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
You are. Mm-hmm. End. We're done here. Mm-hmm. Like, don't do that. So, I think we did, and there was kind of, this is like a sort of disjointed rant, but like I think there was a point commercially where we consented to step backwards, mm-hmm. Collective we. The rise of the kind of like crafter blog and the mommy blog in particular, like I think mommy blog was first, then crafter blog. And look, I cook all day. I love doing, like I like to sew. I love all those kind of like traditionally female things too. But in a way, I think the downside of the downside of those things was that it gave marketers consent to market us, mm-hmm. yeah. market to us in traditional gender role ways.
Yeah, sure.
So I think a lot of 2000s, right in there, I think there was a lot of, particularly like, I'm going to say like 04-ish to, you know, up till maybe 2014, 15, around then, that's, we were basically saying, please market to us in very traditional ways.
Yeah.
Don't disparage me, but also please market to me in this way. And we had a lot of, you know, young women rejecting the term feminist and really, without even understanding it, believing that it was about female supremacy and domination. And I think it reset things that needed to be set. So, I don't know what happens in this. I think the last year was not perfect, but it was positive. It, mm-hmm. You know, I think it got a lot of conversations going about race that were important, because a lot of people were like, see, look, a lot of people can protest peacefully. And then it was like, look, it was a bunch of middle-aged white women.
Yeah.
Cops aren't threatened by you, you right. know, in the way that, yeah. like, it's a privilege. It is absolute privilege that... They're like cops, in fact, had their back to the protesters at one point.
Yeah.
Like I took a picture of a line of cops sitting on bicycles with their back to protesters, completely unconcerned with what was happening. Fast forward to like the night the Laquan McDonald tapes were released.
Right. Yeah.
And a peaceful protest happened on Michigan Avenue, but the cops were engaged. Cops were pushing back. People were describing it on social media as a riot. It was not even a riot. Like, yeah. It was just, it's
right.
Different groups are going to be treated differently by cops. And I think we know that better than anybody in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like, we see it. So that is like a big long rant for another day. But point being, I think it made people go, well, why did that go better? Why did that go? Like, why did the cops not get pissed off? And why were the cops less anxious? Okay, maybe here's why, you know.
Yeah.
So I think those conversations at least started. I don't think they got far enough, but at least they started. I don't know. We got to wait and see. This time next week, we'll have a better answer.
Yeah,
of what,
right, exactly.
I
and
mean,
I wish it, I
it
mean,
would be
I hope
awesome.
It, right,
right.
I hope it is great. I hope great things happen and it, you know, leads to great things. Certainly.
It would be awesome if it was like double from last year.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it will, because I haven't. Which is not to diminish the role of any organizer, because often organizers are doing the work quietly, person to person.
Yeah.
For
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it. I don't, unless they're trying to exclude me from it, which is a possibility.
Yes.
Everyone is invited, but Guth.
Ixnay on the Uthgay.
Please don't let her see any of this organizing. I don't know. I haven't seen as much of it. I've seen a couple of things, but not as much. So I wouldn't, and to me, that just feels like, don't even do it at some point. I mean, it's on some level. I don't totally agree with that, but on some level, like, it's going to, I think it will do some damage to just have like a, oh, look, there's 1,000 people standing there
mm-hmm.
where there were 30, 40,000 last year.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure like a lot of people just got really pissed off with the rant I was just on.
No, that's I don't fine. Think so. I don't think it's perfect. I mean, it's, you know, it's reasonable. It's not career. We're not being critical of anybody. We're just talking about the dynamics of it all.
And there's a lot of really complicated ones. And I've just kind of scratched the surface. I've also resigned myself to the fact that literally anything that comes out of my mouth anymore is going to get people pissed off. And I know
totally.
You live in that space too.
Yeah.
Literally, and the things I think will piss people off, they're like, I don't care. But then like the dumb shit, people are like, this bitch is a communist. and like all on me.
I just got an email earlier today, and this is all it is. The subject line is, "Are you retarded?" question mark. And then the text.
Can we not with that word,
I know.
Please?
I fucking hate that word. I have written about it. I despise it.
There's a hashtag. There's like a movement.
It's about the, yeah, and
it says
the R
like,
word.
And the R word, yeah. Or no to the R word.
Yeah, that was started by the, it was really, yeah, that's really good. It started with the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job of getting that out there. But yes, I agree. I despise that word. But, and then the text of the email is, well, question mark. And I'm like, what is this? I don't know what this relates to. I don't want to. Could it be something I wrote about cats or dogs?
I mean, it's tempting to just be like, to say something innocuous and assume it's about something innocuous. Like you're right, I don't like my shirt today either.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just like.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Crazy.
Oh my, I put on the wrong pair of shoes.
Right, you're right. Busted. I wore two different shoes today.
I did have a good, not good, but I just got pissed. I don't usually respond to
I had a good,
much of
not
it.
Good. Yeah. I was pissed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's, sorry. I've already had a long day today.
Yeah, yeah.
I got this email from a Trump supporter, a thing I wrote about the shithole comment, where I basically said, you know, you better decide what you're going to, how you're responding to this, you being like everyone, because, you know, someday you're going to be asked how you responded in this moment when the president of the United States just made an overtly racist comment about and, you know, bashed other countries and blah, blah, blah. Revealed himself to be completely a white supremacist and all that. And she wrote back and she said, well, I'm going to tuck a copy of this article in my Bible so that my grandchildren can see how the left was so cruel during this time, blah, blah, blah. You know, because I support my president and I think he's doing a great job. And, you know, some people say things in closed door meetings and blah, 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 blah. And I just wrote back and I said, your grandchildren will be embarrassed of you.
Yeah.
Because they will. I mean, fuck that. I mean, look, this is absurd. I mean, you know, there is such a.
Also, if you want your grandkids to read it, put it on the fridge, dummy.
Yeah. Right. And I think she meant like later in life or something, right? but yeah, I was like, you know, that one guy, I was just like, you know what? Fine. But
her grandkids are going to convert to something else.
Yeah.
And
well, and they're
going to
be like, oh, man, grandma was racist as hell. Oh, crap. You know?
Oh, good. I've inherited my super racist grandma's Bible.
Yes. Woo.
This is fun.
Oh, boy. It's got little swastikas in it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I just, you know, what a trauma. This is a wild pivot of
We're
sorts.
We're pivoting.
What do you think about the Stormy Daniels? I like saying Stormy. I love
was
that
saying
name.
You just want to say Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels. I don't know if you saw the In Touch magazine has apparently did an interview with her, Stormy Daniels, being the porn star who Trump allegedly had an affair with shortly after Barron was born in 20. I don't know. I don't know when that was. Yeah, but anyway. So, I guess before she signed a non-disclosure agreement, she did a long interview with In Touch magazine revealing all the dirt. So, In Touch magazine is now publishing that, and salacious. But the thing that I find, the thing that strikes me so much about this is news about this whole thing. The Wall Street Journal was the one that broke the news about the non-disclosure, the payoff, basically, to her from Trump, which happened apparently right before the camp in 2016.
Right.
But the is that presidential candidate pays off adult film star he had affair with while wife was at home with newborn baby was like a one-off, you know, like nobody gave a everybody. It's such presidency, it's just kind of like Tuesday.
Like,
we're like, oh, okay.
It took me a couple of days to even get to that story because I was like, I got other things to read. I got DACA things.
Right.
I got other no. I'll get to that later. So it was much later that I was like, oh, yeah, what was the thing about the...
It's crazy, though. Yeah. I mean, this would derail... I mean, good Lord, this would derail...
And I feel like a... I always feel conflicted when you name the profession...
The porn star, yeah.
Like, the porn star, the stripper, the, like...
Yeah. And it's also... Somebody pointed out, whenever you're talking about a adult film, it's always a porn star. It's never... Like, they're all stars.
Right.
Like, they're never... There isn't, like, a bad... Porn, like,
there's no like B-lister.
Yeah, right. Porn, meh.
Actor.
You know? So porn.
Aspiring porn professional.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're right. It's a little term. And, you know.
Because it's saying like it's seedier by virtue of the fact that this person engaged in some form of sex work.
Right, exactly.
And I'm not anti-sex work at all.
No, I agree with you. And I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's.
But.
But the whole thing. I mean, just put it, say she's an accountant.
Stormy Daniels
accountant. And see, and it's still a pretty damn salacious story that would really derail most presidencies. Yeah. Not to mention the, you know, the fact that it sound, well, I shouldn't say fact, but the reports that Fox News buried the story towards the end of the election and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I'm sure if, you know, Clinton had been having an affair with Antonio Banderas, there would have been, you know, they would have been
high fives all around.
Yeah, right. That was, she would have won.
I'm kidding. Don't come at me.
But yeah, you know, so it's just, it's weird. But I mean, the thing about this, aside from the fact that, you know, what we would normally consider a bombshell story right. is kind of like meh, whatever, but these details that are coming out from her from this, you know, interview are like,
just give me the P-tapes, please.
Yeah,
that's just right. I've just been saying that for now a year and a half.
This is
can
all just laying
just
the groundwork
the
for that. Yeah, but he's gonna, I just am curious what he's going to do now, because he doesn't, because she talks about him not being good in bed. Apparently,
now this is the second woman to do so.
Yeah.
Because
and you know, like, shocker to, I'm right, everybody's right. Like, oh really?
Oh
wow.
Really? Because I really had him pegged as like a really sensitive lover. Yes, get out of here.
I find narcissistic orange men to usually be excellent in bed.
Oh, that grossed me out so much even making that joke. Because in Ivana Trump's book, she says that he has, I think she says first and last name. I think the sentence, but I need to fact check myself. I think the sentence is, Donald Trump has no idea how to give a woman an orgasm.
Yeah, I remember that. Right, yes. Again. Breaking news.
Not shocking.
So, but yeah, his ability.
Ugh, I creep myself out so badly just now.
His ability to ignore this is what's going to be the real test. Oh, she also makes she also has something to say about the fact that she resembles his daughter, which was what made the whole, which she
right.
does. If you look at the side-by-side photos, it's horrifying. It's like the grossest thing I've ever seen, because they look exactly alike.
And he has made a point of saying, if she was not my daughter, I would date her.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, that's horrifying. Yeah. Yeah, big time. That's so gross.
We'll spend the remainder of the podcast barfing, making.
Like any like you don't. Yeah. Like anything like. That's like a known deal breaker.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one time a dude started talking to me in public and one of the first things out of my mouth was like, you look so much like my brother. And he was just crestfallen because he was so, because he did. But he was like so about to hit on me.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, you look just like my little brother. He was like, and scene. We're done. Okay, bye. Because he knew like at that point, nothing he can say.
And even if you did, it would be kind of...
It'd be weird. Like,
yeah, I'm not comfortable
I'm
with
not
this.
I'm comfortable with this. You totally look like my brother.
And I want
who's
it.
Great, but not... I don't think about him as anything but my brother.
Right.
Thanks, bye. So, yeah.
So, yeah, that is... it's an interesting development among all the other developments. And also, you know, I like
but
to...
Yeah, but a footnote in the grand scheme.
Right. Although it does make me like to think about Mr. Good Christian Man Mike Pence, Vice President... you know, like what? So, how do you? I mean, I don't
if
like
nothing
I,
else. I think he should be like, oh, adultery.
Right, right. I mean, he
the
should
baby
be,
Jesus is known for not liking adultery. That's
should,
a thing.
He should be offended by if he is who he says he is, which I don't think he is in terms of being a quote unquote, you know, Christian, moral, whatever.
Do you think he's like faking Christian?
Oh, yeah. He's full of shit. I mean,
I think he believes he is a Christian.
Right.
But
he,
like in
okay,
a really
yeah.
like self-righteous kind of way.
Sure. Yeah. I buy that. Although, you know, Pence has a... I mean, remember, he was like a talk radio guy for a while before he became governor and stuff. I think Pence is more sort of showman, not in the Trump style, but showman in the sort of evangelical, full of crap, opportunistic style.
I can see that.
Yeah, I don't buy a lot of it. But and also, I mean, look, as I am as fallen a Catholic as you can probably get, while still having a foot in the ring, and I'm offended by all of this stuff.
Sure.
You know, I'm offended by it not solely on. I mean, I'm offended by it just on human terms, much less like, you know, religious or any other basis. But I mean, you know, so for Pence to pretend like this isn't going on or to just ignore it or even worse, you know, make excuses for
not
it.
Not that I'm making excuses for Pence, but like he's in a bad spot.
Oh, totally.
You know, you can't really. I mean, in what job can you be like, my boss is an idiot, and keep your job?
Well, no, I mean, but I think he, for any of these people, anyone who is keeping their job at this point and isn't like, okay, I'm done, it's just despicable, I think. I mean, especially after, I mean, the Stormy Daniels thing is a sidebar, really, but
perfect name.
Oh, I know, right?
Stormy. Oh, man. That's like, she really picked a really good adult film name.
Indeed. I like that.
One time someone approached me about buying amyguth.com from me, and because she was a dancer moving into the adult film realm, and she was like, I'd like to own that domain for my career. And I was like, first of all, Amy Guth is a terrible stripper and porn star name.
So that was going, she was going to change her name?
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't ask enough because.
No offense, but I just wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, no, that's not at all a good name for anywhere.
Yeah.
You need a name like Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, right.
Amy Guth is not a name that you're like,
I can't even think of like an alliterative A name, that Amy something that would sound.
There's no sexy
stripper.
Word. No.
Right?
No.
Amy, amazing. You know,
Amor.
Amy Amor.
No, there's a burlesque entertainer in Chicago. Her last name is
really?
Amor.
Okay.
But no, I can't. I couldn't be still in that
mirror. Interesting.
But no. So point being, like, yeah, she was like, can I buy the domain off you for like $100? I was like, first of all, hell no. Second of all, absolutely not for $100. It's not for sale.
Right.
There's no amount of money that'll make me give you amyguth.com.
Yeah.
But I mean, for maybe like $10 million,
I was going to say, everybody's got their price tag.
But that check's got to clear. And then I would go buy someone bought amyguth.com for $10 million.com, and that would be my new website.
Nice. There you go.
Also, fuckyoumoney.org would be the other one I would have.
I'm rich, fools.
makeitrain.com. That one.
Could just be videos of you.
Videos of me like, bah, bah,
bing, bing,
bah,
bing, bing, bing. Paying to have all who have wronged you.
I can't even imagine doing that. Anyway, we're on a terrible tangent today.
Indeed.
I'm like in a crappy mood today because I'm hungry. I haven't had lunch yet, so I'm crabby about everything. It's my problem.
I haven't either. I've had half a granola bar.
We should have catering. Someone call our agents. This is unacceptable.
I know. Seriously.
So we have the Stormy Daniels situation in which the woman looks like Ivanka, which is problematic. We have a little Bannon news this week.
Yeah, a lot of Bannon news, really.
I would say that shot, that like one little clip of him walking around the corner, you know, leaving that building, he looks so, like I had to hit pause and just analyze his face for a minute because he looks both like so smug as usual.
Right, yeah.
But a different level of smug and also, kind of like somebody who's, not caught, but like backed into a corner.
Yeah, well, he kind of is. And AP just reported today that during the hearing, his attorney was in direct contact with the White House about what he could and couldn't answer. And I'm like,
so that's not a thing that we.
Yeah, see, and I don't try to pretend I know the law.
Not a legal scholar,
right?
Here.
But I mean that it's weird, and there were a lot of different. Theories being floated yesterday about all of this. One was because the congressional committee he was speaking to did the unusual thing of subpoenaing him during the hearing because he wasn't answering questions,
which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, but that had to come from the Republican Devin Nunes, who's in charge of the committee, who's an asshole and a total Trump toady. And so there was speculation that actually what they were, that Nunes was trying to find out what Bannon knows and might tell Robert Mueller, because he has now been, he's got to appear in front of the grand jury for Mueller.
Right.
Which is a real dodgy thing, because when you go in front of a grand jury in that situation, you don't have your lawyer with you.
Right.
It's just you. The prosecutor.
This telenovela has become exhausting.
It is. I mean, it's just
really
insane.
The thing of it.
It's insane. And so, you know, the question then is.
Also, this telenovela with stodgy, crabby white men is just not very fun to watch.
Yeah. It really, I mean, you're just kind of like, oh my God. And the people that are still. I don't know what happened, okay? I personally, there's a part of me that doesn't think Trump is intelligent enough to have colluded, or even that Russia is dumb enough to pick someone like Trump to be their kind of go-to guy because he's such a moron. What I do think is that there is a very good chance that he, you know, Russia was interfering, no question. I think maybe some of the people on the periphery of Trump, like Manafort.
As you're saying this, Dr. Phil and Trump are both on a split screen television behind you, and I'm
super.
Like, what's happening right now?
Talking about his health stuff, I imagine.
Yes, because it's a shot of him holding a bottle of water with two hands.
Two tiny little hands.
The little raccoon hold. Anyway,
so sorry. No, that's okay. So, bottom line, he may not have really been that involved specifically with Russian collusion, but he certainly was probably obstructed justice, may very well be what brings him down at the end of the day. Even if the Russian stuff is not specifically, it's more the Manaforts and
right.
the Papadopouloses and stuff and Jared or whatever that were really messing with the Russians. I don't know. But
I think that's most likely. But while obstruction might bring him down legally and like unseat him, I don't know that that would make him. I don't know that that would lessen him in the eyes of some of his supporters.
Oh yeah, no, it would all be
he had his reasons.
It was a conspiracy to bring him down. Everybody
either
was
conspiracy
against him.
Or you know, sometimes we all have to bend the rules to do the right thing. I can totally see that narrative emerging really fast.
I honestly, at this point, I do not think there is anything that his hardest hardcore supporters, of which the 30% roughly that view him favorably right now, I would say a good, probably 2/3 or so of those are hardcore supporters, if not more. I really don't think there's anything that he can do. I think they could release the P tapes. I think there could be. I think they could have recordings of him saying how he thinks minors are a bunch of redneck shitheads and blah blah blah. Anything. And I think they'd still find ways to defend him. And I think that part of that is because they have felt so put upon and wronged for so long, that sort of like victim crap that which is nonsense, but I mean that they've felt that way for so long that I don't think they'd be able to accept that they were wrong and the liberals were right about Trump.
Maybe. I think though that it's worth considering what it is that's so valuable about him to that super core.
Mm-hmm.
Almost unshakable core, and because it seems like it is this version of this untouchably hyper masculine. It's super patriarchy, right? This ego. This guy says it like it is. He's so masculine. He can just do whatever he wants and grab women, however, and do this, and all these, beautiful women are around him, and all this, and he can dominate television and industry and politics and blah 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 blah. I think then it's about like what would, and again, like I'm not plotting necessarily. I'm just kind of wondering as an intellectual exercise, like what would turn someone against him who's so blind to all the bullshit. And it seems like it is ego and emasculation to completely for him to be so humiliated, because like a P tape is still some kind of domination over women.
Sure,
right.
Yeah. There'd be people that are like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's still like him being this masculine character and reaping the rewards of female attention that he has some kind of power over, either because he paid them or because he is whatever, whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's not an element of like if something so emasculating or embarrassing happened to him, because he gets so defensive. You know what I mean? Like he gets so defensive about the dumbest crap that it seems like that's the Achilles heel to poke on, because suddenly he's not untouchable. He's not the stupid Marlboro man. He never was but I think there's a group that thinks he is. And so I think to pick away at that makes it unrecoverable for him.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't, I just, I mean, you know, that or if he actually, I guess, you know, if he is revealed as a complete charlatan, who is not on their side, you know, I mean, if, because we know he's not on their side, but they think he is because they buy everything he says. So
it would have to be so explicit, though. It would have to be a tape of him saying, here's how I'm going to play these people like cards.
These rubes, these, you know, morons who, you know, they voted for me and I'm making so much money off of them. And
unless he explicitly said that.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way, other than having them lose faith in him as this, like, titan of ego and power and masculinity.
Right.
I think that's the only way otherwise that it's going to... that it's really, that it would, that would hit, that it would like register to that group.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. So let's get on with the humiliation.
Yes.
Let's
yes.
go with that.
How may we humiliate you, sir?
He's going to humiliate himself.
Yeah. I don't, but yeah, the noose is kind of tightening, you know, the Bannon stuff, especially that has to, although I don't, you know, you still, I still, I wonder, you know, what, when we see Bannon and we see, all of these, you know, all of these Republicans who are just letting all this stuff fly, they're right. And even like kissing his ass and really going to defend him. People that were in that meeting, Senator Cotton and Senator Perdue, or Congressman, whatever. Anyway,
them
two of them who were like, "No, I didn't hear him say that word." When you know they couldn't bring themselves to come out and say, "No, he absolutely did not call them shitholes."
Right.
You know, they're like, "I didn't hear him say that word," right, and right. now they're trying. Maybe he said shit house, whatever. Right. They're all dancing around, and they're a bunch of just, you know, yes men, and it's ridiculous. And I keep thinking, like, okay, what the fuck does he have on you guys? Like, he's got something.
What power is he wielding over you?
Yeah, and this is, this starts to drift into conspiracy territory a little bit. But somebody I was talking to recently pointed out, you know, the Russians hacked the GOP emails also, the Republican National Committee's emails also, but that never got released. And so there's, you know, you wonder, okay, is that it? I mean, is there a bunch of crap on all, you know, and that's what's...
Could be.
Because I mean, the way some of them are behaving, you're just like, really? Like, what kind of...
How could you possibly go along? Yeah. How are you playing along right now?
And what is your... I just don't see how anybody looks at it and says, oh, yeah, that's... I want to hitch my wagon to that. You know what I mean?
Right. This seems like a pretty good career move for me. Right. I'm doing this.
I am
on board. No, the only way you do that is if you're like, I don't have a choice. I'm so screwed.
Right.
He will ruin me if I do not. I would like to say shout out to the many establishments in the world that are using their marquee to say shithole.
Yes. Yeah. Wiener Circle
said, like, they had, well, I don't remember the exact phrasing, but it's on social media. If you look for Wiener Circle in Chicago, you will see their sign. There was a bookstore who immediately assembled a table that said literature by shithole authors, or authors from shithole countries, or things like that. Like, shout out to that. It's a little bit, at this point, I think for any news anchor on a broadcast channel, that would get you fined. Like, we are not broadcast. We're going straight to the website.
Right.
But to say it in broadcast, that sometimes can get you fined to say shithole in the air. Mm-hmm. I think, like, it's not worth the risk because you're going to get fined into oblivion.
Yeah.
You're going to get FCC fines out the wazoo. And I'm sure Trump will make sure that you do. But at this point, to say it, I think we can admit that you got to be in it just for the sake of saying shithole on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first couple of people, like Washington Post broke that story and said it, use the word. That's different in print and online. But to say it on broadcast, like, once CNN and MSNBC are saying, like, once Anderson Cooper said shithole, I was like, well, this is a new era.
In the Chiron.
Oh, like, yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, I was sitting with my kid, and
he was like, whoa, it's a shithole.
Yeah, he's like, and I'm like, oh, God. You know, like, thanks, Trump.
Thanks, guy. Right. So there's that. Yeah. Well, we've got to wrap things up already. We are running out of time already.
Time flies.
I know, it sure does. So this has been another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We're going to get that catering thing worked out in our contract, and by that I mean go to Walgreens and get a sandwich and be less crabby next week. But until then, we'll see you on social media. Everybody be cool on Twitter. Talk to you next time.